This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show here on placetobenation.com, and now your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
And you are now listening to the first edition of the Steve Carino Show. If you don't know Steve Carino, then you have probably been under a rock for the last 20 years. I'm a 20-year professional wrestler, color commentator, occasional actor, comedian, but also a husband, a father to two great sons, and now a podcaster right here with the Steve Carino Show on the Place to Be Nation. This is a listener-powered podcast through the Place to Be Nation. It's free and will remain so, but if you'd like to contribute, head on over to worldofcarino.com, buy yourself a shirt, a picture, or whatever. You know, if you're a promoter, you throw a little booking my way. Also, don't be cheap. Go over to theplacetobenation.com. I'm sure they got stuff for sale. Also, they got podcasts galore, and I'm very, very excited. You know, I'm not super new to the podcasting game. I spent 62 episodes with my big buddy Rob Dimension with the Extreme Odd Couple podcast, and you could say we're on a little bit of a break, but not like a break up. We're more like a break. And, you know, over the next few weeks, we'll get into that because he's going to be a guest on our show in the next coming weeks. But, you know, with that show, I was more of a supporting player. Rob was very hands-on. He was a great editor. And, you know, it was more the banter between two friends that really can't stand each other. And that's where the Extreme Odd Couple podcast came about. But now he's got his own podcast. And like I said, when we interview him, he'll be on our show, the Steve Carino Show. And we'll get to interview him and see what he's up to. But let's tell you what's going to go on in the next few weeks. This is my chance to talk to you people out there. And when I say you people, I'm looking at you and I'm saying you people. I want to talk to you people about everything, whether it be baseball, whether it be comedy, whether it be movies, television, you know, even all these, we'll throw a little professional wrestling in there if you'd like. I'm all about it, but I want it to be something fun. I like talking to the fans. I like talking to people. And I like to get my view out there because sometimes in the world of professional wrestling, you only get to see the character side of somebody. And you only get to see it for maybe 5 or 7 minutes per week if they're on television. Now, with me being a color commentator on Ring of Honor, we are in 88 different markets, maybe, through the Sinclair Broadcasting Network. If you listen to Kevin Kelly's the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, he knows exactly what it is because he's office. I'm not office, but you know, they get to hear me for 44 minutes a week. But do you really get to know the person and stuff like that? What I do outside of wrestling, and if you know me, you'll know that I'm a big freaking nerd. I'm sitting in my little man cave right now. The Yankees and the Red Sox are on in the background, and I just put my 4.5-month-old baby to sleep. And by the time that you listen to this, I will be overseas. I'll be in England wrestling for PCW, Preston Championship Wrestling, or maybe Preston City Wrestling. You know, we'll talk about that next week. And I'll also get into where I'm going to be during the week because my producer, Dan, are you there, Dan?
I am here, Steve.
Well, thank you very much. Dan McGinn. Is it McGinn or McGinn?
It's McGinn. And you and Kevin Kelly drink from the same Kool-Aid because he didn't get my name right the first time either.
It comes off like McGinn.
Yeah, it looks it.
It does.
It looks that way, yeah. You know what? You know what I also get, Steve? I also get McGinnis. Like, people want to add that extra couple letters to my name every time, and it's like, that's not who I am. That's not me.
Oh, it's because people are dumb.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess you're Irish.
That's true. Half.
You have red hair?
Some people say I do. No, it's more brownish blonde.
That's red.
Well, I'm also kind of...
Isn't brown and blonde red?
I'm also part Greek, too.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
You're a mess.
And a Red Sox fan.
Oh. Yeah. You should be enjoying this. You guys were beating up on Tanaka for a little bit. Man, do you get to go to a lot of games? Or are you from the Boston area?
I am.
So stereotypical Irish, aren't you?
Right. Yeah. No. I'm central casting for probably, a movie that features somebody like Mark Wahlberg or you know
Matt
name
Damon.
Your Boston guy du jour. That's probably where I'm looking at right now. I could be lying, but I might be wearing a Bruins sweater right now as we're talking.
But you don't have that awful accent like ring announcer Bobby Cruz or Todd Sinclair or Eddie Edwards or any of the rest of those Boston guys.
No, you know what? I don't want to take too much time away from your opening salvo here.
That's all right.
But what happened was back in the day, I used to call minor league baseball games, and they took me all over the place. I called games in Chillicothe, Ohio, you know, really exotic places like Kalamazoo. And what happened is living out in the Midwest for a while, I kind of lost a lot of that accent, that Boston-ness, if you will.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you as my my producer. You know, I've never had a producer before.
No.
Yeah, when me and Rob did the Extreme Odd Couple podcast, he did everything.
Yeah, well, there's lots of people behind the scenes. We're not going to mention them all by name, but the Place to Be Nation, fully behind this endeavor that you're doing. We're certainly happy to have you. Let me be the first to thank you for having me on your program. I'm sure I won't be the first nor the last, but this is going to be really exciting. I think people are really going to enjoy this. It's going to be a nice counter to the other big program featuring a Ring of Honor personality.
Wait, who else is going to be on it? Oh my god, you guys, like, I thought I was like the big guy. I'm not the big guy. All right. Well, let's get into some topics for today. I like to write down a few topics and, you know, get it out there when you're going to listen on Friday and Saturday during the weekend, whether you're driving in your car, you're on the computer, you're doing your thing and you're listening to me and my sweet, sweet voice. I want to bring up a little bit of topics of what's going on in the mind of Steve Carino. And the first thing I'm going to bring up is, you know, I'm a huge, huge baseball fan. I live and die with the Philadelphia Phillies, mostly die. You know, being 40 years old, I've grown up with some really bad teams. But, you know, I've been lucky over the last few years. You know, got to see, you know, them in two World Series. The last time I saw a World Series, you know, before that, that was 1980 that the Phillies were in the World Series. I was 7 years old, and my wife wasn't even thought of yet. And I'm sure we will get into that in the next few weeks. But what I want to talk about is there was a nice bench-clearing brawl a few days ago between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it seemed to me that Brewers outfielder Carlos Gomez seems to find some trouble anywhere he goes. And, you know, I understand that the players' egos are going to be higher because they're making tons of money. But I was watching last year, and it was the Brewers versus the Atlanta Braves. Now, I live in North Carolina on the coast, and our DirecTV cable outlet comes out of Washington, D.C., maybe. That's the games get blocked out. But with MLB Network, I have the opportunity to watch games from all over. And I was watching Milwaukee versus Atlanta, and Carlos Gomez hits this big home run, and he proceeds to shoot a promo on everybody, you know, in the Atlanta Braves infield until he gets home to, you know, then Braves catcher Brian McCann, and it starts this big brawl. Now, a couple days ago, he hits one, and it's going. It's going to the center field, the deepest part of the ballpark. It hits off the wall, but he does a home run trot because he's so cocky. He ends up getting a triple, and Pirates pitcher Gerrit Cole starts the talking, and then there's the mouth. And that quick, Carlos Gomez wants to fight like he's a tough guy or something like that. And I'm always thinking, these guys can't be that tough. You play baseball all your life. Where do you find time to learn how to fight? And, you know, it's not like football where it's so aggressive that, like, there's going to be fights, or hockey, you know, the adrenaline's running so much that there's going to be some fights. It's baseball. You can't get more laid back than baseball. And most baseball fights are, you know, I've seen you know, 6-year-old girls go at it, you know, much harder than that. But, you know, the mouth starts, and then Carlos Gomez can't be held back from anybody. And then, you know, Travis Snyder from the Pirates gets involved, and it's a bench clearer. And I'm thinking, why? Why? Because there was some talking going back and forth. And I want you fans to write to me. You know, it could either be by Gmail, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, or by Twitter @stevecarinoshow. And I want you to give your opinions of fights in baseball. Because to me, it's ridiculous. And I've been to dozens and dozens of baseball games over my career, and my life, and I've never seen a baseball before. And I want you people to tell me. And we'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about good base brawls that you may have seen live. And, you know, this one might be good for the email. stevecarinoshow@gmail.com. Give me your story. Let me hear what you got. I'll read it on the air. And I want to know, you know, what you think a base brawl should be. We all see hockey fights. We all see football fights. And that's natural. But a baseball one is like a slap fight. I don't get it. Now, staying on the baseball thing, Albert Pujols, you know, I'm taping this on Tuesday. It'll play on Friday. Right before we started the podcast, I saw Albert Pujols hit his 500th home run in a half-filled Nationals Park in Washington. And I thought to myself, this guy, it's the quietest 500th home run that I've ever seen. And I've seen a few. Been watching baseball since 1977. I can't tell you know, everybody that's hit a 500th home run, but there's only been 26 guys in the history of baseball that have hit 500 home runs before Albert Pujols becoming the number 26. And I'm thinking, is the importance gone of the 500th home run because of, you know, the guys that use the PEDs, the Alex Rodriguez's, the Barry Bonds, the Sammy Sosa's, the Mark McGuire's? Is 500 home runs tarnished? And what a shame. But a guy like Albert Pujols, who was almost a god in St. Louis, and he ends up taking more money to join the Los Angeles Angels. And, you know, who can blame him? I get it. Yeah, I hated when Jason Worth jumped on the Washington Nationals team for 7 years and $142 million. And I was angry at him. And why could you do that to our team? And, you know, but think about it. Why wouldn't he do that? That's a huge contract. And at the end of the day, you are trying to make the most amount of money as possible and create your own legacy. It's a lot like professional wrestling. Whereas as professional wrestlers, we are trying to entertain people. We're trying to leave a legacy. And we're trying to make the most amount of money with the least amount of body damage to us. So, once again, fans out there, you know, tweet me @SteveCarinoShow or, you know, shoot me an email @SteveCarinoShow@gmail.com and let me know, what do you feel is an important statistic in baseball anymore? Is it the 300th win? Is it a no-hitter? Is it the 500th home run? How about 100 stolen bases? Maybe Billy Hamilton is the first guy to steal 100 bases this year in years. I remember as a kid, Ricky Henderson stealing 100 bases. It was like he was on the move all the time. And then all of a sudden, you see guys with 38 stolen bases leading the league. Well, I don't get that. We're going to talk a lot of baseball when our guest this week, Cliff Compton, comes on in just a little bit. I'm very excited. For the people that do not know Cliff Compton, he was Domino in the World Wrestling Entertainment. He is very famous for two podcasts that he did with our buddy Cole Cabana. And you know, we're going to have him on. He's a real funny guy. We're going to have him on in a little bit. He's a real funny guy. He's a big baseball fan. He's got lots of great stories. And I'm not going to tell him to his face personally, but it's something that all the wrestlers talk about. This guy is the funniest, most unintentionally funny guy ever. Some things that come out of his mouth are just so funny. He doesn't get it. He doesn't realize why he's so funny. And then the other thing, let's talk a little professional wrestling. You know, let's give us some. I want to send my condolences out to WWE World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan on the loss of his father. Suddenly, you know, what an emotional roller coaster it has to be for this guy for the last few weeks. And, you know, with not only main eventing WrestleMania in front of 75,000 people, winning the WWE World Heavyweight title, and, you know, wrestling fans that are going to listen to this, they know that wrestling's magic, but, man, when you get awarded that, you know, opportunity to be the main event of WrestleMania, there's only ever been 30, and you win the championship and everybody's chanting yes at the end, that's something, that means something. And then, you know, he marries Brie Bella, and you know, trust me, when we interview Rob Dimension, there will be a lot of Total Divas talk, and then loses his father on Monday, and very, very sad. We have our wish Daniel Bryan the best, and, you know, he's a real good guy. I've known Bryan for a while, and the last time I wrestled him, I think it was in 2005. He was the Ring of Honor world champion, and I wrestled him in Buffalo, New York. Oh. To think of it now, the two times that I've challenged for the ROH World Championship have been in Buffalo, once against Daniel Bryan, and the other one against Seth Rollins. How about that? How about that? Maybe it's, you know, once you defend the title to me, you get the big deal? Only in Buffalo. All right, but some bad wrestling news, and I want to say this publicly on the Steve Corino show, because it gets to a point where a lot of people put their opinion and, you know, air their dirty laundry on whether it be Twitter or Facebook, and it gets redundant, and you don't want to hear it, and then stories get mixed up, and this person's talking about this person, you know, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's time to put out some fires. I figure if you hear it from the horse's mouth, and that horse being me, and I'm as big as one, belly-wise, I think that this is a great forum for me to, whenever there's a controversy or something like that, I can tell people what my side of the story is. Now, Tuesday, you know, you're going to be listening to this on Friday, and it's going to take me a couple weeks to get used to that. Tuesday, it was announced that Extreme Rising, who was trying to be, you know, the next ECW, they are putting on events. They ran a couple ones that, you know, drew very well, but always had some sort of problems. I wrestled for them in December against Stevie Richards as a favorite of High Spots, who are some great guys. And, you know, we'll have to get them on board as a sponsor, too, because, you know, they're such a supporter of professional wrestling and professional wrestling podcasts. But yeah, they had asked me to do a favor and be there because I do the old school interviews that you can get on highspots.com. You can find it through worldofcarino.com. And they wanted me to interview Sabu, and then, you know, there was a payday involved to appear on Extreme Rising. And to know me is that I don't like to do anything ECW reunion. And I say ECW reunion because I'm putting my air quotes up. And, you know, just because, you know, ECW was 2 years of my life, and it was a great 2 years. I got to, you know, become a star, and I got to, you know, really set the stage for where my career was going to head, you know, for the next part of the next chapter of my career. But it wasn't something that I wanted to go back to. So I did the Extreme Rising show. The guy gave me a couple dates and then would retract them, like, oh, I have this date, this date, this date. And then he would call me and tell me that it didn't work out. I'm like, all right, well, you know, what's going on? Like, are they canceled? Or are they not? That's fine. So last month I'm going to England, and he had something going on at the ECW arena, and I guess the building was not up to code or whatever. But my son, Colby, who wrestles as American Tiger, you can follow him on Twitter at Go American Tiger. He's a young high flyer, and he's always looking for, you know, opportunities to get his name out there. He was booked for Extreme Rising in their March show that got canceled. So there was supposed to be a fee paid to him, and granted, he's not making thousands of dollars or Stevie Richards money or Sabu money. I tried to drink water seamlessly, but it didn't. And, you know, the guy had offered him, I'll send you some money for the cancellation. That never came. So right there was another red flag and everything like that. Now, he had originally booked me for April 25th and 26th, with High Spots being to do a whole bunch of interviews, because that was something to do with, it was going to be the 14th anniversary of the last Cyber Slam, something, 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 I don't get it. Well, as soon as High Spots pulled out, and then there was more things going on, and I don't hear from this guy, and Colby doesn't get his, you know, cancellation fee, I decide to take a European tour. So when you're listening today, and you're wondering where I'm at, I'm in Europe, man. England on Friday, Germany on Saturday, England again on Sunday, and I'll get through in the cheap plugs. So, you know, I don't think twice about it. No one's contacted me in, you know, the weeks prior. It's not like he had called and said, hey, man, what's your travel? You know, we're going to get your flight. You know, I live in North Carolina. It's a flight to Philadelphia. Here we go. I get a email on Friday that says, hey, are you still coming to the shows next week? And I write, no, I hadn't heard from anybody. Colby didn't get any of his money. And I took a Europe tour. So I get this text message, and I wish I would have saved it, because it was kind of funny, but it was this guy, like, he's like, I'm so disappointed in you, and I confirmed you for a date, you know, in December. I'm thinking, no, you didn't, man, because, yeah, that just didn't happen. You know, it's, but it was basically he crapped on me for being unprofessional. Huh. Today, Tuesday, it comes out that all Extreme Rising shows are canceled, and all the guys are out their money. You know, these guys were waiting on their flights and everything like that, and I thought to myself, wow, did I dodge a great bullet or what? Usually I'm the sucker in all this. But it just goes to show you that sometimes if you it smells bad, you could put some perfume on it, but it's still going to smell bad. So whatever you hear, and this guy seems to be the type of person that blames everybody else for his mistakes. If you ever hear my name involved, I jumped off the wagon weeks ago when I didn't hear from him and High Spots wasn't involved. I am very loyal to High Spots. If they have me go somewhere or they book me through something, I'll always be there. But if they smell something wrong, then I'm going to smell something wrong, and then, you know, things aren't going to go. Now, when we come back, me and Dan are going to find Cliff Compton. But hey, quick question. Where can I find the Steve Carino Show? That's the question, right? Well, you're listening to it right now, but you want to listen to it every week. Well, heck, you got to go over to placetobenation.com. You can listen to it through the computer. That's how I listen to it. You can download it on iTunes through the Place to Be Nation. But I'm going to warn you, you're going to get all the shows, and then you're going to be stuck because you're going to have your earphones on all day. So if you got a wife or a boyfriend or a husband or a mistress or, you know, two goats that you find attractive, you better tell them, if I'm listening to the placetobenation.com or I'm listening to it on iTunes, you're going to be there all day. It's not a bad thing. Make sure you listen to the Kevin Kelly Show also. I was on it last week. Had a great talk with him, like I always do. It was like, you know, he's my roomie on the road most of the time, so we got to down to talking. But when we come back, we're going to talk to the man, the former WWE Tag Team Champion. No, he is not Jimmy Superfly Snuka's son. He's the other guy. He was Domino. It's going to be Cliff Compton when we come back on the Steve Carino Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling. Oh.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
We're back on the Steve Corino Show, and on the line is our first guest on our first show. And when it was approached to me about doing my own podcast on the Place to Be Nation, I thought of only one guy that could be my first guest, because I knew that if I got him, everything else would be great, because this guy is the podcast king. He's the internet icon. He's the former WWE tag team champion. And although he's a Mets fan, he's my buddy, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Compton. Cliff, how are you doing tonight?
Wow, Steve, thank you so much for that introduction. I didn't think it was going to end, but I wanted you to keep going. No, it's an absolute honor to be the first guest. And when you approached me, I said, absolutely. You told me it was either me or Bobby Cruz, and I guess he wasn't available tonight, so I'm the guy.
You know what? Bobby's actually on my short list of people, you know, that I want in my first, like, 8 programs, because I really want to make an impact and have some, like, some good guests and stuff that, like, people can talk about. And I think that one of the reasons I picked you first, and it's not just because you're my bud, it's you have such a what's the word I'm looking for? You have such a, like, an impact on, like, a podcast. And, you know, Colt Cabana's podcast is one of the best out there, if not the best. And one of the reasons is he gets to really know the person behind, you know, the character. And I talked about it in my intro of how I want this podcast to be like. It's two guys talking, and, you know, we're going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk about this and sure. that. But, you know, people really got to see a different side of Cliff Compton that they didn't get to see with the when you were Domino in the WWE. And I have a question about that is, did you see that, like, people treated you different after you were on the Colt Cabana podcast, because they realized, like, wow, this isn't the greaser, you know, it was Snuka and stuff like that. This is, man, this guy is, you know, he's a internationally traveled guy, and, you know, that gets into these crazy messes and, you know, somehow, you know, smiling at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. After I did Colt's show, and, you know, it opened up a lot of people's eyes to, they really thought I was this one-dimensional guy, this Domino character. I think they actually thought that was me. Like, I woke up in the morning, and I, you know, looked in the mirror, and I was like, you know, crack them in the mouth, you know. But that was a character I portrayed. And after that show, a lot of people said, man, this guy's not like that, which I found surprising, because, you know, I don't think the repo man really is out there repoing cars. You know what I mean?
No, of
it just
not.
Kind of baffled me, if that makes sense to you. Like, you know, they were so, it was very, and Deuce and Domino was a gimmick, and it was, you know, I was proud of it, and it was what it was, but I was just surprised that people thought I was so much like that. You know, there's just, there was more to me. And no, after that first interview with Colt, a lot of things changed, you know, and then I became what I call the third world gangster, and, you know, I entertain the fans of the third worlds. Yeah.
Somebody, and it's so true. Now, I got a quick question. Where did you break in? Did you break in at the Monster Factory?
I did. I with Larry Sharp at the Monster Factory, and I started when I was 18 or 19, and I went down there. And
what year was that?
Scared. I want to say 99-ish.
Wow.
I want to say 99-ish. 98 or 99, I can't remember. With the you were already a big-time star at that point.
Yes. Now, was Larry still the head trainer, or was there somebody different? Because when I broke in 94, he was there, and I'd broken in Reading, Pennsylvania, and, you know, we went there for a couple, like, student shows, you know, and, you know, you would see Larry, but he never had anything to do with the training.
Yeah, that you know, it was Larry Sharp's Monster Factory, and, of course, you know, as a kid, I'm assuming Larry's the trainer, but I didn't fucking see Larry for, like, you know, the first 2 months. You know, sadly, he had leukemia, but even after he beat leukemia, you know, he was not the head trainer. He was there every now and then, but they had another guy who was the trainer. Actually, Jim Molyneux helped out, former UCW referee.
Yes.
He helped out there a little, but he wasn't the trainer, but he there was a guy by the name of Ed the Razor. You know, these guys.
Oh, I remember Ed the Razor,
Yeah. Yeah, and he did some of the training. But after, you know, two years and whatnot, I started to move on and explore the exciting world of the independents and all that. But no, but recently I've been doing more Monster Factory shows, and I've actually gotten to hang out with Larry because he's an unbelievable character, and he's a really good guy. He's hilarious. He's hilarious, you know.
Now, did we ever run into each other? What, during the time when you started?
I saw you on a Donnie B show when I first started wrestling, and you didn't wrestle. It was almost like a Chuck E. Cheese type of atmosphere, but it wasn't a Chuck E. Cheese. And I remember being very intimidated by you. I'd been wrestling for about 6 months, and it was, you know, you were doing commentary, and you looked miserable. Fucking miserable. Like, you
Why
wanted to be anywhere.
That? Everybody says that I used to look miserable.
Well, I still get it. I look tired and miserable, and I tell people, I say, that's just the way I look. That's the way I look, you know? And people might look at Johnny Depp and say, that's a sexy motherfucker. People look at me and I say, well, man, he looks tired. It's just the way I look. I can't help it, you know? But no, you just look, you know, you look like pissed off, like, I don't want to be at this shithole. I don't want to be at that shithole. I only been wrestling 6 months, so I can't imagine, you know, you're what you were thinking. But no, that was the first time I met you. And then I ran into you on a couple of indie shows.
Did you?
What's that?
Was I a dick to you?
No, but I just, you know, I was a new guy setting up the ring. Maybe I worked, maybe I didn't. You weren't a dick to me, no. And I didn't really get to see you until they did the debut of for the Scum
right?
In Chicago. And it was actually kind of, I hope I don't offend you by saying this, I was a little caught off guard when I first saw you, because you were applying makeup to your face.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I didn't know what you were doing, and I said, it looks like she's putting makeup on, but I didn't want to say anything. And I remember walking up to you, and you go, yeah, I'm putting makeup on, and then you turn around, and you know, but no, and then we've become you know, such great friends. But no, I had run into you over the years, but nothing, it wasn't frequently, but no, you never treated me like an asshole. A lot of people did, but...
Well, you know, I gotta tell people before they start speculating why I was wearing makeup, it's because I get chronic black eyes sometimes, and
you weren't dressing up like a woman or anything. I don't want people to think that.
I wasn't cross-dressing that night. But yeah, you know, Samoa Joe always tells me a story of, like, I met him in Los Angeles for ECW, and he goes, yeah, you were a real dick to me. I go, what did I say? He goes, I said, hi, I'm Joe. And I go, what did I say? He goes, well, you said, hi, I'm Steve. I go, does that make me a dick? He goes, well, you didn't say anything else. I go, all right, thanks, Joe. Yeah, so I always ask people, like, hey, was I a dick to you? Like, yeah, I don't know how people see me. Last week, Kevin Kelly was telling me, like, how up until about a year or two ago, like, he thought I was, like, a miserable person. And I'm like, wow,
yeah,
I came off that way.
Yeah, I get all sorts of things. Some people think I'm crazy. Some people think I'm lovable. And, you know, some people hate me. Can you believe it? You know, some people.
Right? My wife absolutely loves you. You're her favorite wrestler.
Really?
Yes.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, she loves Cliff Thompson.
Her mom got a Cliffy on surf shirt. One of them, right?
I think she's wearing it right now. My in-laws are in the other room visiting. So
she should.
My wife's side of the family, big Cliff Compton fans. And, hey, you can get a Cliff Compton shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Make sure you get one.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of different ones on there. You know, what a great array of T-shirts. And follow him at Cliff Compton. Now, let's talk some baseball, man. I have to ask you, I know you're a Mets fan, but how many fucking home jerseys do the Mets going to have this year?
Well, the Mets, they do strange things. You know, they're the only team that has orange foul poles. You know, everyone else has yellow. And the Mets are notorious for doing strange things. I think they do that when they're not playing so well. Although they are 10-9, I don't know if they're winning right now. So I can't complain on that. It's still very early. I'm actually watching Cueto pitch right now. He did 1,000 innings tonight. That was his
last
thing.
Yes, I got that text behind me. The Yankees are beating Boston 9-2, and I say that because my producer, Dan McGinn, don't say McGinney, it's all pissed off. He is a Red Sox fan. He worked in minor league baseball. What did you do for minor league baseball, Dan? Were you like a broadcaster?
Yeah, like everybody else, growing up and watching the Red Sox or listening to them on the radio all the time, I thought, you know, that would be a great profession. Why don't I sit around and talk about and watch baseball all day? And so that was kind of the dream, the goal. And in lieu of graduation, I found myself driving 20 hours to Evansville, Indiana, to begin a baseball career. So I was, it was really fun, but you realize during the course of that type of profession that you have to work a awful lot of hours that are hard and sweat and pulling tarp and all kinds of like really disgusting things before you can actually do what you want to do, which is call a baseball game.
Were there a lot of girls in minor league baseball?
Yeah, but you know what the trouble is the girls in minor league baseball don't want to hook up with the radio guy. They want to hook up with the guys on the field.
My problem now with Ring of Honor. Being a commentator? Yeah. My wife doesn't even want to hook up with me.
So is Bull Durham inaccurate? Is that what minor league baseball is like? Everyone always says that's, you know, one of the best ways to describe minor league baseball is the movie Bull Durham, of course, with Tim Robbins and Costner, who loves baseball.
Yeah, no, it's pretty close.
And,
Cal
Ripken's wife.
Like,
particularly
when you consider like the small town feel, where like a town, particularly in the low minors, they basically embrace that team that is like the only show in town. They feel like they know the players, that they, oh, that's, you know, that's Johnny, you know, and then they follow them. They, you know, there's things called host families where like families will actually take in the players because they don't get put up in houses. They don't make enough to like get, you know, housing down there. So like they'll actually like in a way for the summer adopt a player. So that in that regard, like particularly when I was out in Indiana, it was very, very much like that. The little small community embracing the team.
Well, I wrestle in Evansville, Indiana about once a month. Well, what team was that?
The Evansville Otters. The Evansville Otters. 2 years there, and they play at, and this is just a little trivia, and I, again, hate to take your time away from
you. No, I like this, yeah.
But they played at Bossy Field, and Bossy Field had been around since 1915, and it's made famous by the fact that the championship game in the movie A League of Their Own is played at Bossy Field. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. It's funny that you bring up A League of Their Own, because I just saw someone wearing a T-shirt, and it's a picture of a baseball, and it says "Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan."
Nice.
And I thought that was the greatest T-shirt I've ever seen.
Crying in baseball.
I want that shirt.
No, I did. That's a great trivia right there. No, that's for the championship game. That was the Racine against now I can't remember, but
Rockford.
That's a great baseball movie.
The Peaches, right?
Rockford Peaches, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Rockford Peaches. Yeah, so who's who in that movie? Gina Davis, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell.
And it just shows everybody, like, it could be a chick flick, but you throw baseball in it and we'll watch it.
Definitely.
Do you consider that a chick flick?
Not really, but, like, you think about it, like, Madonna and Rosie and Gina Davis and stuff like that. I mean, It's like a lesbian dream, but you know, I like it. Hey, what's your favorite Mets team? What year?
My favorite Mets team?
Yeah.
86, of course. I mean, they call it the year the bad guys won. There's a great book called The Year the Bad Guys Won, and it's just, you know, our favorite Wally Backman was on that team. I mean, it was a who's who of cocaine, you know. I mean, it was just, that team is legendary.
Dwight that was Gooden, a party Strawberry. Team.
It was a party team. It was, you know, Keith Hernandez. I mean, I think that team... I love the Piazza era, but, you know, the 86 Mets, they could do no wrong. Well, they did a lot of wrong, but, you know, behind the scenes, I guess. But, yeah, I think the 86 Mets are awesome. Davey Johnson, that'll always be my favorite.
Do you think that it was that team that, you know, led Lenny Dykstra astray a little bit to him for him to be the degenerate that he is today?
I wouldn't doubt it, because, you know, you get those big bonuses from the World Series, and I'm sure, you know, that's when he probably started thinking of, you know, his Learjet plan back in the 80s, you know.
Hey,
they had everybody on that team. Everybody.
Is David Wright gay?
Is who?
David Wright gay?
No, he's engaged to a supermodel. See, everyone thought Piazza was gay.
I know. He had to do their press conference.
They have in Philly.
Yes.
That was in Philly. I don't know. I mean, here's a funny story. I think I told you this. When I was a kid in high school, he was doing a signing at Macy's on Long Island where I grew up. I was like, sweet. You know, I live 10 minutes from here. I'm going to see Mike Piazza. He's going to sign my baseball. I get there, Steve, no joke, 2,000 fucking housewives in line.
Wow.
So I say, my sister drives me, and I say, clearly I'm at the wrong autograph signing because, you know, it's Mike Piazza. Well, where is everybody? And I get out, and I say, no, this is the line for Mike Piazza, and it's just me with my Mets hat and my baseball and all these women just all going crazy. So I finally get up to, you know, he was signing in, like, the, I don't know, the Calvin Klein section or some shit like that. And I just, you know, there was a few guys, but a lot of women, and I just said, hey, how's it going? And he was a nice guy, and he signed my baseball, and then they whisked me away. But yeah, so he definitely had the housewives, at least. But yeah, everyone thought he was gay. Maybe he is. I don't know.
It was like a jealousy thing, right?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, I mean, I'm not gay, but he was a very good-looking man, you know, Italian. Yes. He could hit the ball well, and, you know, I think, like you said, jealousy, you know. I'm sure Gino, our good friend Gino, has his thoughts on Mike Piazza.
We're going to have to get that. I'm going to have Gino on 1 week just you know, to get the point. If you don't know Gino Colucci, who's a referee for Ring of Honor, he may be the most opinionated person that, like, I've ever come in contact with, and it's absolutely hilarious. And he's also a flight attendant for Delta. So draw your own conclusions there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know. No, but dinner with Gino is always a blast. We had dinner with Gino this weekend.
He's so much fun to hang out with. And, you know, talking about Piazza and how, like, you know, looks can be deceiving. A few weeks ago, you had quite the run-in when you went to a local place to get a massage. Now, and we're gonna wrap up with this story because, you know, I've known you for a little over a year, like, now, like, as buddies, and we had text and Vox, you know, a lot, and I've never seen you so upset about something before. Now was the deal that you went to this I want to speculate, an Oriental massage place?
No, here's the deal. I needed a real massage. I've been banged up. You know how it is. And I needed a real massage. So I went to a nice spa massage place, and it was in a nice part of town here in Louisville. I don't want to say upscale, but it was definitely, you know, it wasn't a seedy part of town by any means. And, you know, I went in there. I was clean, showered, and ready to go. And the lady said, can I help you? And I said, yes, I'd like a 60-minute massage. And before she says anything, Steve, she says, you know, we don't do any funny business here. And she's looking me right in the eye, and I don't know how to reply to this. And I just say, excuse me? She says, you know, we don't do any of that funny business here. And I says, I really don't know what you're talking about. Of course,
was
I know
there
what
anybody
you're
else
talking
around?
About. What's that?
Was there anybody else around, or is it just you?
No, there was, like, people. It was in, like, it was in, like, a mini mall, almost. There was, like, other places around. And no, there was people, like, it's a big place, and you would never think this was a rub-and-tug place. That's what I'm trying to say here. But this
right,
woman thought I... Yeah, like, I feel like she saw me come in and just assumed I was coming in for a hand job right off the bat. And I found it very offensive. I did. And I said, I really don't know what you're talking about. You know, I just need one of these deep tissue things. My shoulder's bothering me. She just goes, okay, no problem, you know. And then I paid, and... you know, they weren't Oriental. They might have been Swedes or something. But you know, I was really taken back because, you know, if I want to get a rub and tug, I know where to go. You know, I felt like she was kind of insulting my intelligence on that part. And then, you know, I wanted to say, hey, listen, honey, don't flatter yourself. You know, Jesus.
Now, how much does the regular massage cost? Like the legit massage cost?
No, this was, I believe, $60 or $80 or something like that, you know?
Now, what about the rub and tug?
That's about, you know, depending on your place, it could be 80 for an hour, you know, and then, you know, I know some, yeah. I don't want your listeners to think I'm frequenting the rub and tugs, but, you know, I'm, to be honest, everyone's gone for an old rub and tug ski, you know? But, yeah, I mean, it was the last thing I expected to hear. Not even a hello. It was, you know, and we don't do funny business here.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I wanted to walk out, but...
You were hurting.
It was embarrassing. So I actually asked you, do I look like a rub and tug guy? Yeah.
My wife said, my wife and mother-in-law said you don't look like the rub and tug guy. So,
well,
if you believe that Cliff Compton is that guy, make sure you tweet us at Steve Carino Show, at Cliff Compton. Is Cliff Compton, does he have a face of a guy that likes a good rub and tug?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I do, but I was not going there for that. That's, you know, it was very, very awkward, but I seem to run into situations like that all the time. We all do. But no, I'm very flattered that your wife and mother-in-law don't see me as a prostitution guy. That means a lot.
No, not at all. Hey, Cliff, where are you at this weekend?
North Carolina. Your neck of the woods.
Gastonia, right?
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I literally nowadays just check my email and I go with where the flight says. So.
Now, promoters that want to book you, where do they email you at?
CliffCompton99@yahoo.com. I'm getting busy, so
good.
I take advantage. Good. Yeah, you know.
You could also see him on the WWE Network. I saw a screenshot of somebody that was watching a Domino match, and you know, follow him on Twitter. He's got what, 85,000? Verified
somewhere in there. Yeah, after that KFC deal, they made me legitimately. That is Cliff Compton. That is me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm in the 90s, and I'll answer you. Throw me a question, I'll answer you, you know, as long as it's, you know, not, it's probably going to be now, are you a rub-and-tug guy, but...
You know, it's at Cliff Compton, and also make sure you get his t-shirts. He's got a bunch of them. Go to prowrestlingtees.com, you know, it's a great place. You can get a lot of guys' wrestling t-shirts there, but make sure you get it, and also make sure you get the new DVD of the All the Good Brothers. You want to tell us about that real quick before we go?
The Wrestling Road Diaries 2?
Number 2, right? It's
you can get that
Gallows.
At ColtMerch.com. Sorry, that's my security system in the background, my dog. Yes, ColtMerch.com. In all honesty, it is a great, great documentary. I think everybody, even my dog, will like it, and it's good. It's really good. And you'll see a side of the three of us you've never seen before, but you also see a lot of craziness, as always, with those guys.
That's great. So, Cliff, thank you.
Not much baseball in there, though.
All right. We'll always have you back to talk baseball, but we want to thank Cliff Compton. He took some time out. Right now he's playing the MLB The Show on PS3 against former WWE wrestler Casey James. So they're on a little break. It's a little, and we're going to let him get back to that. But Cliff, thanks for coming on my first show, and hopefully I'll have you on sometime again.
Awesome, and happy birthday, Wrigley Field, tomorrow, 100 years.
100 years, all right. That's Cliff Compton, everyone. Thank you. Dan, take her away.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com, as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys' MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point, here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and look at the great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
We're back on the Steve Corino Show. Once again, I want to thank our guest Cliff Compton for coming on. You know, during the break, Brad and Dan and I were talking about, we got a hashtag rub and tug and get that thing trending. The guy's got over 90,000 Twitter followers. We'll get a lot of listeners that way, I think. But this is going to be the time for you guys to be a part of our podcast. I put it out on Monday. Tweet us or email us or even go on the Facebook page of Place to Be Nation and start asking some questions. So we're going to finish out tonight's our first podcast with a bunch of questions. And now I'm going to put the disclaimer out there. It's not that I can't read. I just bought a new pair of $500 glasses. It's just sometimes your names are really weird. McGinn. I'm just going to use that as an example. But – yeah, so if I get your name wrong, don't get all upset and, you know, shoot me an awful tweet that, you know, you hate me. It's okay. Now, I'm going to start off first, and this one came from Rich Kobach, And his Twitter handle is Grandmaster Rich. It says, Steve, many Ring of Honor fans don't know you are from Seattle City, New Jersey, and I thought of you when the beach homes caught fire. Now, that's not really a question, but I'm going to I have to put it out there. When I first started wrestling, I wanted to be the only wrestler that had like five words in their hometown. So I was coming from Sea Isle City, New Jersey. It's five. And I thought that was really cool and stuff like that. And then when I went to ECW, I didn't want to be the guy from Philadelphia. And I lived in a small town called Collegeville. And, you know, a real tough guy coming from Collegeville, Pennsylvania. And I always thought that, like, a Philadelphia wrestler is like Sandman or the Pitbulls or SD Special Delivery Jones, not Chicken Shit Steve Corino. So I said, Seattle City, New Jersey. I really was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Same hospital as Chris Jericho. I made less money in wrestling. It's okay. But and then I moved to Pennsylvania, and now I live in North Carolina. So I really do get billed from Emerald Isle, North Carolina now, and that's actually where I live. So, Rich, I apologize if it was my house that you thought caught on fire. Dan, take her away with question number two.
All right, Steve, I'll give you I'll try to read one of the harder names for you, okay? This is from J.D. Virgilio.
Oh, thank God. I was looking at that one.
Yeah. He goes, at King Carino, what was it like working for Paul Heyman at ECW? And that is, of course, with the hashtag old school.
Oh, and you know, that's a question I get all the time. Heyman was the biggest motivator that you could ever imagine. This guy, you know, he could sell you ice if you were an Eskimo. And I mean, it's such a pun, but he really was good. And he really knew how to get the best out of his wrestlers. And you look at what he's done for so many guys that they go to a different company and sometimes they get exposed, is, I guess, is a good word for it, for not being, you know, as good as they were in ECW. And that's because Paul could find like the littlest thing and really get the most out of it. So yeah, he was great to work for, and man, he was just a lot of fun. Now, this next one is from the email. It's this one, and you can always email your questions weekly. We're going to do this every week. SteveCarinoShow@gmail.com. You can also get that email address on worldofcarino.com. This one's from Richie Bailey, RichieBailey10@yahoo.com. It says, Dear Steve, congratulations on the new show. Super excited because I've been waiting for this for a long time. I just wanted to ask, what did it feel like winning the ECW title, and would you have rather won it one-on-one instead of a four-way match? And that's Richie from Seattle, and that's a good question. It's one I've been asked a few times over the years. Personally, I didn't think I was ready for the ECW World Championship. It was circumstances being what they were and where the company was at the time. I was the safest guy to put the belt on. Not to say that I didn't deserve it, but I think it really would have been better if I had won it later on. You know, I really thought Jerry Lynn should have got a long run, but for the most part, I was very honored to get the championship, and I really worked hard for it, and it's something that, you know, you could never take it away from me, but I think if there was a time that I could have taken back where they said, well, you have these ECW title matches, which one would you have taken? It would have definitely been against Just Incredible, the Hammerstein Ballroom in August of 2000, because I think that's the night the fans thought it was going to actually happen, and oh man, it was going to be something. But definitely would have been one on one. Dan, back to you.
All right, this one comes to a friend of yours, a friend of Kevin Kelly's, and very much a friend of Place to Be Nation, and that is @Joe_Dombrowski, who writes, got a question, which is appropriate. This is the question segment. How many times can you fit in MontrealTheory.com into your show?
Well, you know, when we talk about the MontrealTheory.com, there's so many ways that you could go with the MontrealTheory.com. I mean, we could talk about Kevin Kelly's part on the MontrealTheory.com. We could talk about Steve Carino's part on the MontrealTheory.com. Or we could just talk about the Montreal Theory altogether. So I think Joe's going to be very happy that I hit it five times in about 14 seconds. But, you know, that's a great DVD that both Kevin Kelly and I, proud Place to Be Nation podcasters, we were both on it. We were both featured on. And if you are into that Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels saga and the whole match and the screw job and what led up to it and everybody's conspiracy theory about it, that's definitely a DVD for you. It's very informative. There's a lot of different views on it. I was very surprised. And I think my view is the best. I really loved Kevin Kelly's. I thought Ravens was awful. So don't be afraid to watch it and crap all over Raven about it. But yeah, Joe Dombrowski really did a great job, and he's been doing good things. He's you know, he just did a documentary on Zach Gowen that he's been producing or then putting out, and I've just been hearing great things about that. But our good friend Joe Dombrowski, I love him. Now this next one comes from Joe Dittmer. Could be Joe Dittmer. He's dressed as, looks like Road Warrior Hawk or maybe Batman in his Twitter photo, but he's at JoeDittmer. Dittmar? Does it sound like Dittmar, right?
It looks like Dittmar, yeah.
He says, what current ROH wrestler can you see headlining WrestleMania someday? Whew! No doubt about it. Adam Cole. I mean, we could talk about Adam Cole until the cows come home, but Adam Cole, I definitely think within the next, I'd say, 7 to 8 years, that guy's going to be the main event of WrestleMania. What you got, Dan?
Well, I got it. This is basically a two-parter. I got this from Twitter as well as Facebook, so I might as well read it. So it's, the Twitter was from an at Uncle Putz. The Facebook is from one of our big fans here at Place to Be Nation. It's Justin Pratt, and they both ask about your feud with Tajiri in 2000. Uncle Putz asks, how much blood do you think you lost on that night at Hardcore Heaven 2000? Whereas Justin goes on to say that you guys had great chemistry during that match. Is this one of your best matches ever? So take it away.
I think that was a match that really, after the Dusty Rhodes feud, it really showed a different side of me, where the Dusty Rhodes feud was very old school, and I really got made during that. But it was during Tajiri and then eventually Jerry Lynn where it was, now I could show a different side and, you know, showing the resilience and always getting up no matter what kind of beating I took. Now, a lot of people don't know that during that match, I separated my shoulder, maybe 3 or 4 minutes in with the brainbuster on the ramp. And then at the end, and you can watch it on WWE Network, he puts my face on the table and he gives me one last kick before he puts me on the table for the finish. But he breaks my nose during that too. And man, it was just a real hard match. Oh, and he also kicked me in the balls for real too. That hurt. But it was a lot of great chemistry, and I think it came from a lot of respect from each other. And you know, even to this day, he's still a buddy of mine. But back then, we were just two young guys trying to be, you know, part of the show and show that we were, you know, we were here and we were ready. Now, it's funny, somebody had asked about working for Paul Heyman, and that was a night that Paul Heyman sat down with us, and he literally was telling us about how we were the fourth main event on a show that had Jerry Lynn versus RVD and the Sandman versus Rhino and Just Incredible versus Lance Storm in his last match in ECW. But we were the fourth main event, and man, we were pumped up, and we were so pumped up that we went out there and kicked the shit out of each other. So I was pretty proud of it. I just showed that match to my wife this week, and I don't think she was too thrilled, but but she was young back then too. Now, this next one comes from Daniel Brewer, Heel 83 at ymail.com. Hey, Steve, big fan of yours from the ECW days and love all the shoot interviews you've done. My question is, I really enjoyed your partnership with Jack Victory and was wondering what your relationship is with him today. Any chance of a high spots old school with him? Thanks, Daniel. I just reconnected with Jack Victory a couple weeks ago. I hadn't talked to Jack in a couple of years. I know he'd moved to Jacksonville, North Carolina, or Florida. And he, you know, he's just busy. He's not involved with wrestling anymore. I had heard stories that he didn't want really anything to do with wrestling. And I just said, man, I got to text this guy and, you know, just tell him what kind of impact he had on, you know, not only my career, but my life. Because I really feel that I was or I am now the Jack Victory of Ring of Honor. I get to help a lot of the young guys, and you know they come to me for, you know, maybe advice or something. But you know, it's just Jack Victory is one of those guys that's just a real awesome super guy, and you know, I'm so happy to reconnect with him, and we are working out something right now to try and do a High Spots old school interview with him. And I think if it comes about, and I'm sure it will, it is going to be one of the best ones. I'm so excited about it.
All right. I think we have a little bit of time for a few more. So I'm going to do at Mark Danger Rules, who goes at Steve Carino Show. What is your only regret, if any, do you have that you have done during your pro wrestling career?
You know what? Like, it didn't dawn on me until recently because, you know, growing up, I was always a Japanese wrestling fan, whereas everybody would talk about the WWE. You know, man, I wanted to perform in Corken Hall and Budokan Hall and wrestle for All Japan Pro Wrestling or New Japan. And I got to do that, and I was so excited about that. But in the last few weeks, you know, I had gone to WrestleMania with my son. It was the first time we had ever gone, and it was also the first time that I saw a WWE show as a fan since 1991, and I realized, like, man, these guys are such stars, and I you know, thinking back now, I wouldn't change anything, but if I had one regret is that I didn't try hard enough to get a WWE contract. I was always content with spending all those years in Japan, 11 years, 79 tours in Japan. And I don't regret that at all. I had such a great time. But, you know, looking at how they are now and, you know, just what that company has become, not just a wrestling company, but a real entertainment company, that I went, man, I really wish I would have taken a shot there. Just, you know, even if it was for a quick run. But that's not my only regret. I mean, it's not even a real big regret. Now, I got one from William Olson. Billy O. Metz is his Twitter handle. He writes, will this show be on iTunes? Well, William, I would like to answer you, but your profile picture is of a Metz, so I can't answer your question, right?
Steve, what is it about this particular group of our website, for instance? We have Scott Criscolo, who likes the Mets. We have Kevin Kelly, who likes the Mets. We talked to our guest today, Cliff, who likes the Mets. What is it about the Mets that, I mean, it isn't 86 anymore. It's not the late 60s anymore. What is going on with the Mets that makes them so chic?
Are they the lovable losers, maybe? I don't know. I've never been a Mets fan, you know, because I'm a Phillies fan. So, you know, by osmosis, I have to hate everybody in the NL East. But, I don't know. You know, sometimes I feel bad for the Mets. I hated Jose Reyes when he played for them.
Right.
But, you know, and it's like Kevin Kelly and Cliff Compton can never be considered like my best friend because the whole Mets thing. But to answer Billy's question, yes, iTunes, we are on iTunes through Place to Be Nation, you know, and you can listen to us on iTunes, but when you listen on iTunes, you're getting all the Place to Be Nation shows. So, like I said earlier, man, grab a lunch because you're going to listen to some great shows.
You basically subscribe to Place to Be Podcast, and yes, then you're guaranteed, as long as you hit that subscribe button, you're guaranteed to get the very latest Steve Carino Show, Kevin Kelly Show, of course, the Place to Be Podcast. That's now over 300 episodes, so yeah, saddle up. It's a lot of good listening.
Man, it is, and I'm excited. I love the Kevin Kelly Show. I finally subscribed. Okay, this one's from Art Bauer at Bauer Sox. I was wondering what the story of you running over an 8-year-old at a wrestling show. Yeah, all right. Quick story. I was in New Orleans. I'm wrestling Tommy Dreamer. You can find this on YouTube, too. I think it's under Steve Corino Kills a Kid, and which isn't cool, right? If, like, I didn't really kill a kid. Yeah, someone else did. But basically, we're fighting on the outside, and he throws me to go over the rail back towards the ring, and a little kid kind of, like, ran in front of me. Now, everyone says that I kind of leaned into him. But I gave him the greatest shoulder tackle of all time. Like, I have never knocked somebody down so hard. And it was awesome. And I think RF Video did one with me and Doug Gentry where we voiced over old matches. And that was one of them. It still makes me laugh to think of it. And who knows what happened to that kid. Somewhere I think he grew up and became Cedric Alexander. The timing was right for that. And just one day he's going to kick my face off in revenge. But, yeah, I accidentally knocked over that kid. It was pretty cool. Now, Dan, do you have any more Twitter ones? I know we have one here, another one from Mark Bauer.
That's true. Maybe we should save that one for episode 2.
Yeah. I got a Thomas Simpson one. When am I going to be a guest? Now, Thomas Simpson is the originator of Omega Wrestling, which is a great organization that really put guys like myself and Matt and Jeff Hardy and Shane Helms, C.W. Anderson, Joey Mercury on the map. And he's a real fun guy. He's got a lot of great stories. So next couple of weeks, we'll definitely have a Thomas Boom Boom Simpson segment. Getting over this one here, Stephen Sutton's going to write about us. He'll probably bury us. He didn't answer our question. A King Firehawk show asked us about Extreme Rising, but we did that in the early part. Steve Rogers, not the Montreal Expos pitcher, is welcoming me to the nation. He said, other than myself, best ECW champion of all time. Easy. Shane Douglas. Definitely Shane Douglas. And that's it for the questions. I want to thank everybody for the questions. We're going to answer them every week here on the Steve Corino Show. You can tweet it to us at Steve Corino Show. You can email them to us, stevecorinoshow@gmail.com. You go to my website, worldofcorino.com. Like I said before, it's a free and fan-supported podcast. You know, we don't ask you for any money to download the podcast, whether it be Place to Be, a podcast, whether it be the Kevin Kelly Show, whether it be the Steve Corino Show, or this big one that they're planning that they're not telling me. So, like, if you want to contribute financially, you know, go to placetobenation.com. I'm sure that you can figure out some good stuff on there. Go to worldofcorino.com. I get the 20th anniversary T-shirts that are selling like hotcakes, baby. And talking about hotcakes, I'm going to be selling them this weekend. You're listening to this on Friday, so I will be at PCW in Preston, UK, the United Kingdom, selling Steve Corino T-shirts and beating up some British stars. And Saturday, I go over to Oberhausen, Germany. You could be listening to this in Germany because Oberhausen has a lot of American military, a lot of U.S. Army. Oh, I know my shit. But come out to WXW Wrestling and then back on in England on Sunday for Kamikaze Pro Wrestling. All these dates and buildings and venues and how to get there are on worldofcorino.com. And, you know, also make sure you get this podcast every week, every Friday, placetobenation.com. You know, I want to thank those guys for having me and producing my producer, Dan McGinn. If I say gin again, he's not going to produce me next week. Next week, we got my former podcasting partner, my heterosexual life mate, Rob Dimension of You've Been Rob Films and his own podcast, Shock and Wrestling Podcast. I think I said that right. Shock and Wrestling Podcast. I'm sure he'll bitch about it later. But he'll be on the podcast. And then I'm going to announce it right now before any of you guys on the Place to Be Nation podcasting family do it. Mother's Day week, I'm gonna have a special Mother's Day show. My wife Jordan will be on, my mother-in-law Shell Pack. I may even throw my mother on there, Marianne. She's probably gonna want to be on there, and we'll tell some stories. We'll talk about the great moms, and we'll talk about a lot of great different things. Dan, you got anything to plug, my friend?
Well, I'll just throw this out really quickly. Scott Criscolo and I, we're gonna do every week, we're going to do a recap of the very new and very insane Legends House on the WWE Network. And we actually just put out episode one this week. And this is quite an experience. If you haven't got the WWE Network for everything else, do it for Legends House, and then head on over to the website. Scott and I do this show upright, so I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, and Legends House is pretty crazy. So yeah, I'll be listening. I'm gonna like that. I can't wait to hear it. And once again, next week, Rob Dimension, 2 weeks from now, Mother's Day Spectacular. Keep listening. Thank you very much. Make sure you hashtag that thing, Rub and Tug. I'm Steve Corino, and this was the Steve Corino Show. It feel like Atlanta. It feel like L.A. It feel like Miami. It feel like N.Y. Summertime shy. Put your hands up in the sky. So I rode through good. Y'all pop the trunk. I pop the hood. Ferrari. And she got the goods, and she got that ass, I got to look, sorry. Yo, it's got to be, cause I'm seasoned, haters give me them salty looks, Larry. Sticky told me, go ahead, switch the style up, and if they hate, then let them hate, and watch the money pile up. It looks like I go for mine, I got to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. The girls who ain't on TV, cause they got more ass than the models. The good life, so keep it coming with the bottles, so she feel booze like she bombed at Apollo. The good life, it feel like Houston, it feel like Philly, it feel like DC, it feel like VA, or the Bay, or yay. Hey, this is the good life. Homie, tell me what's good. Why I only got a problem when you in the hood? Welcome to the good life. Like I'm new in the hood. The only thing I wish a nigga would. Welcome to the good life. He probably think he could, but oh, I don't think he should. Welcome to the good life. 50 told me, go ahead, switch the style up. And if they hate, then let them hate. And watch the money pile up. It looks like I come for mine. Yeah, I got to shine. Now throw your hands up. While getting some brain with that ass, she said, I never seen snakes on a plane. Whether you broke or rich, you gotta get this. Having money's not everything that having it is. I was splurging on trips, but when I get my car back activated, I'm back to Vegas. Cause I always had a passion for flashing. Before I had it, I closed my eyes and imagined the good life.
Better than the life I lived when I thought that I was gonna go crazy. And now my grandmama ain't the only girl calling me baby.